is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. It's a great honor.
Next on News for the Soul.
This is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. It's a great honor to have you on the show tonight. Welcome, Deepak Chopra.
Thank you.
Yes, this is Uri.
Hi, Uri. It's Nicole Whitney calling News for the Soul. Welcome to News for the Soul, Robert Allen.
Thank you, Nicole. It's great to be here with you tonight.
Why are you here? We're talking to Carolyn Mace about Sacred Contracts, one of her many best-selling books. Welcome to the show, Greg Braden.
Well, good evening, Nicole. It's certainly a pleasure to hear your voice and a pleasure to be here tonight.
Welcome to the show, Stuart Wild.
Thank you very much.
John Kehoe, welcome to News for the Soul.
Hey, how are you?
Next up, Dr. David Morehouse.
I'm so glad that you called me because you are doing such an important task, important work, because you are spreading a very positive message.
I was really moved by last week's show because we made a commitment to a worldwide event to try to change consciousness.
I'm feeling enormous energy around this show, just enormous. I really have to hand it to you, Nicole. You've created sort of a niche of amazing connections. It's just like the angels and the devatas that are like attracted to News for the Soul is amazing.
Next on the News for the Soul Radio Network, it's the Whole Health Initiative with Dr. Holly. With more degrees than a thermometer, Dr. Holly's PhDs include psychology, nutrition, natural medicine, advanced Ayurvedics, and more. Dr. Holly is a scientist, the author of 17 books, and a professional international speaker. She also sees and works with energy, and she's here now to help you achieve complete optimal health. Welcome, Dr. Holly, to News for the Soul.
Well, hello there, everybody. How are you doing today? We're actually doing a pre-taping here on Sunday. You will hear it probably on Wednesday. I'm not going to be here for the month of November. I'm doing a presentation on pharmaceutical abuse down in the States, and then from there I'm going down to Dominican Republic, hopefully to finish off a whole bunch more books. So we do have a lineup of pre-taping that Nicole is doing for us. In the meantime, what's today's session about? Well, we're going to look predominantly at arthritis and painkillers, both pharmaceutical and nutraceuticals. There's an awful lot of abuse of painkillers, just like any other pharmaceutical, but definitely painkillers. So let's look at it in terms of arthritic. There's an awful lot of arthritic conditions out there. Actually, there's over 100 different forms of arthritis. Rheumatoid and psoriatic are the autoimmune disorders that affect the joints. Septic arthritis is infection of the joints. And then, of course, we have the joint degeneration, which is the osteo, which can include the bone, cartilage, ligaments, etc. So lots of different types of arthritis, lots of different causes for arthritis, but regardless, it hurts. I have been diagnosed, or used to be diagnosed, both with osteo and rheumatoid arthritis. At the same time, I also had fibromyalgia. We have all three together. That's called polymyalgia. And I used to take, I was during a time when I was running several multi-million dollar businesses. You know, I had a huge fleet of trucks and umpteen employees, about 100 employees. And I was taking 3 and 4 Tylenol 3 with codeine 4 and 5 times a day. The pain was unbearable, and I just kept popping pills, trying to keep going, until I started coughing up blood. Now, not too bright. It obviously took me a while before I was what did it take? It took coughing up blood before I was smart enough to stop and say, hold on a minute, something else needs to be done here. And so at that point, I stopped and did a lot of research. I needed to figure out a different way. Coughing up blood was not a good sign. So in that process, I learned an awful lot. Of course, that was before I ever got the doctorate of natural medicine, doctorate in nutrition, all the different degrees and designations I now have in real medicine. But let's go back and see what I found out back then. Number one, arthritis can have a number of different causes. It can be from toxicity from your foods, environmental, water toxicity, heavy metal toxicity, and all these different types of toxicities can be involved in causing inflammation. Inflammation can also be caused because of infection and because of trauma. But regardless of how the inflammation evolves, what the original causes, as we said, it's painful, and we don't like being in pain. Pain is psychologically draining. It just depletes us in every aspect of life. So what do? We go into the MD and we get prescriptions for painkillers. Well, painkillers can cover up a tremendous amount of pain, sometimes not at all, but they have varying degrees of ability to cover up the pain. The problem with the painkillers is they don't solve the problem. They just address the symptoms. Now, when we're taking these painkillers, they can cause a huge number of additional problems in addition to the pain. Liver problems, small intestine problems, stomach problems, etc. They can cause ulcerations. They can cause depletion of nutrients. They can actually even cause cancer and definitely addictions. So do we really want to take the painkillers, prescription painkillers? Just to give you an overview of the five most dangerous, or what I think of being the five most dangerous pain medications, prescriptions, let's just go over them from my perspective. Number one are the COX-2 inhibitors. That's your Celebrex, your celecoxib, etc. There's a triple risk of heart attack with these. Okay, it's even on the box warning. Cardio and gastro problems. Second category is all your NSAIDs, your Advil, Aleve, ibuprofen, Naproxen, Naproxen, etc. One out of 1,200 have huge problems with gastro bleeding. 16,000 plus people a year have problems with gastro bleeding and ulcers because of NSAIDs. They're over-the-counter drugs for most of them, but that doesn't mean they're safe. Now, in the U.S. alone, fluctuates between the years, but between 16,000 and 20,000 people a year have gastro bleeding and ulcerations due to NSAIDs. That's got to tell a story in and of itself. Okay? The third group, opiates. That's your Percocets, your hydrocodone, oxycodone, Lorset, Vicodin, 16,000 deaths a year, again, with the opiates. They're addictive. They cause ruptured bowels, respiratory depression, meaning your lungs can't function properly. They can even cause coma and cardiac arrest. Pretty dangerous drugs. Another group are your Tylenol and acetaminophen. About 50,000 people a year, again, just in the U.S., end up in the emergency because of liver toxicity, nausea, abdominal pain, bleeding, etc., simply because of Tylenol and acetaminophen. Then we got the other group, the aspirins and the acetylsalicylate, which are basically all synthetic versions of the willow bark. And what do? They cause gut bleeding, perforated ulcers, Ray syndrome, etc., and, of course, they're dangerous too. Well, that's pretty heavy duty. That's an awful lot of danger to take for either a prescription or an over-counter drug for pain relief, okay? Now, having said that, the American Surgeon General, I can't remember how far this back, and I can't even tell you which one it was. I just remember that he said to use cod liver oil as an anti-inflammatory, and not only that, it not only reduces the inflammation, which of course reduces your pain, but it is shown to repair cartilage damage. Cod liver oil, man. Like, holy cow. There's no damage there. There's no depletion of nutrients. There's no ending up in the hospital because of bleeding ulcers or gastrointestinal problems, etc. There's only benefit to the body. Holy cow. Your omega-3 rich fruit foods, of course, all have your omega-3s, which provoke anti-inflammatory responses in the body. Vitamin A and vitamin D are phenomenally good nutrients for your arthritic conditions. Now, in the process of eliminating the arthritis, and remember, I eliminated all my osteo, all my rheumatoid, and my fibromyalgia. Eliminated all of it. I haven't had it for years. It can be eliminated. One of the common presentations I do is called Arthritis, Do You Want to Eliminate It or Manage It? Manage it or eliminate it. The choice is yours. So we've talked about this real simple remedy that works for an awful lot of people, and it's to do with raisins. Now, this remedy does not solve the underlying problem, so be very clear on that. This is not meant to solve the underlying problem. It is just a really simple, easy, cheap, effective way that has benefit to the body for dealing with the pain while you're eliminating the underlying problem, okay? And all you have to do is take a bowl of golden raisins, place them in a small bowl, cover them with gin. Now, some say vodka works just as well. I'm not familiar with that or how that works. I'm just familiar with the gin. You cover it with a cheesecloth, soak them till the gin evaporates, and then eat about 7 to 9 raisins a day. The gin comes from juniper berries. Vitamin C and terpenes are found in the juniper berries. And the sugar from the raisins connect with the terpenes, the oleic acid, and the phenols, and voila, you have a natural painkiller. Okay? Simple. Real simple. And cheap. And it's not detrimental to the body. So let's just go over that once again for you real quick. All it is putting a golden raisins into a bowl, covering them with gin, covering that bowl with a cheesecloth, wait till the gin evaporates, and then take 7 to 9 raisins a day. Holy cow. Nice and simple, nice and easy. It works for about 70 to 80% of the population. Another one that's a really bizarre one, but also that works, is using ivory soap. The tallow that's used in the soap, and they now, when I started using these bars of soap, I put them between the sheets years and years and years ago so that I could function. I had heard that everybody in the city that we have in Canada called Penticton, that over half of Penticton, it's a senior town, used ivory soap between the sheets to deal with their pain. And I just laughed and said, you've got to be kidding. Well, it worked for me. Yeah, right, I'll try it, but I don't think so. But it did, in fact, work for me. So I started contacting laboratories and universities around the world trying to find out why ivory soap worked. In hospitals, laboratories, universities, nobody knew. Well, it's now been identified that it's the tallow in the ivory soap that actually does, in fact, reduce the inflammation. Now, I'll tell you my experience with it. Some mornings I could wake up, and that bar of soap, if it was underneath my back when I woke up in the morning, the bar of soap would be hot, which just absolutely amazed me. How was that bar of soap taking on the heat and reducing the inflammation? Now we understand it's the tallow in the soap. Okay, so those are a couple of simple ways of dealing with pain. But how about some herbal remedies? Let's go for that. I have another sheet here that I put in a whole bunch of herbal remedies. Let me just find it. It's one of my presentations. Here it is. Okay. Now, certainly this isn't an exclusive, exhaustive list. It's just an indicator of how many things that we can use for inflammation, for painkillers, while we're getting rid of the arthritic condition. And many of these herbs I'm going to identify actually do contribute to eliminating the problem as well. All right. Number one. Some people call it the holy trinity of Ayurvedic medicine because it's got holy basil in it, but it also has turmeric and ginger. The three of them are all anti-inflammatories or have anti-inflammatory properties. The curcumins in turmeric are absolutely phenomenal, and if you're going to use it in your food, you have to be very careful. Turmeric, or 80% of the sources of turmeric are actually toxic. One brand that I know is incredibly clean. It's gone through 3 different types of laboratory testing, 3 different laboratories, and that's Savanti's turmeric. It's a very good turmeric, high quality, pure as you can get it. But when you're using turmeric, you have to also make sure that we absorb turmeric very, very poorly. So when you're working with turmeric, what you want to do is you want to mix it in with fatty acids. Good ones would be avocado oil, sesame oil, hemp oil, coconut oil. Any of those would be good to mix your turmeric in. And for even better metabolism of it, mix in pepper as well. This has to be black, freshly ground black pepper. And there's a huge amount of information that shows that turmeric is fantastic for conditions like rheumatoid arthritis and psoriasis and a bunch of other conditions as well. But it does take out the inflammatory component. Now, ginger and holy basil also do. They have different profiles of nutrients in them. Their holy basil is a fantastic antioxidant as well. Ginger helps your body to produce enzymes that it needs that can help resolve the problem in addition. So what are some other ones? Well, what about wintergreen? We've known that one as an essential oil. Wintergreen has been used for a long, long time in all kinds of oils and balms and creams and what have you. And it has a salicylate type component just like your willow bark has, which, of course, is the basis of your aspirin. And what do those salicylates do? They lower the level of what's called prostaglandins in the body. And the prostaglandins are, what are they? They're hormone-like compounds in the body that contribute to the process, the inflammatory process. And, of course, we want to reduce those. And white willow bark and wintergreen essential oils do reduce them. Other ones, how about devil's claw or birch leaf? Ones that you might be more familiar with in your kitchen would be cayenne pepper. There's all different types of cayenne peppers. It's, the capsaicin is found in all the different types of hot chili peppers. And it can be wonderful. Again, if you're wanting to put it on the surface, you have to be careful with this one if you're going to use it topically. Again, you can mix it into an oil so the body can absorb it better. But with the capsaicin, you have to be very, very, very careful. So hear me loud and clear. When you're using cayenne pepper or any of the capsaicin, any of the chili peppers, you have to be very, very careful that you make sure that you wash it off within 20 minutes. If you do not do that in about an hour, maybe longer, you will start to burn, and there will be nothing you can do about it until you burn yourself out. Until it burns itself out. Now, capsaicin or cayenne pepper can be used in a variety of ways. They're not only topical painkillers, but they strengthen the integrity of the membrane of your blood vessels. Actually, you can use them in your eyes. And again, you have to be very, very careful. But you can mix. There is a formula that you can use to mix cayenne pepper in with water. You splash it onto your eyeballs. And, oh, my goodness, does it ever burn? And it will burn for 1 to 2 minutes, but it will clear up cataracts. It's been known to do that, so that's pretty cool, too. What are the other things that you might find in your kitchen? How about cherries? Cherry has anthocyanins, which are the phytonutrient that gives them the red coloring. And that red coloring, that nutrient that gives the red coloring can also inhibit pain and inflammation. Think about it, Holly. Arnica is not necessarily found in your kitchen, but certainly a very commonly and well-known herb. It's used typically after intense trauma, so not necessarily for arthritis, but it can be used when you've just hurt yourself, when you've caused a strain or a sprain or even a breakage. Arnica is incredibly good for that. We also have internal painkillers like peppermint and boswellia, or boswellia is also known as frankincense, another one you have to be careful of because it can get toxic to the body. But they are more typically known for internal types of pain as opposed to skeletal muscle kind of pain. Um, trying to think of any others off the top of my head. The big thing that you want to be doing when you have an arthritic condition is, in addition to using the painkillers, the natural painkillers that work really well, you want to help your body eliminate the problem in the first place, right? Why bother managing something if we can just eliminate it? So one of the things that has been used in the body, or one of the things that's recognized in the body, is to make sure that your body can make glutathione. Now, there's all kinds of products out there that claim that they can increase the body's capacity to make glutathione, or that they actually sell glutathione. So let's just quickly do, we've done this many times before, but let's quickly go over an overview of glutathione. Number one, if you take the glutathione compound, which is usually identified as GSH that you get in the health food store, it will break down into three amino acids and the hydrosulfur in the stomach. You tend to lose the cysteine, and you're not going to get it into the cells. Now, even if, say, in an older person that's not making sufficient hydrochloric acid, it doesn't quite break down, it's still too large to cross the blood or the membrane into the cell. So that's kind of useless. If you take the nanoproducts, I think they're useless because they're millions of times smaller than the compound is meant to be. So, yes, it can cross the membrane into the cell, but it can't connect with any of the enzymes, it can't connect with any of the receptors, et cetera, because it's usually too small. What's the point? Now, other products, MLM products, et cetera, that claim that they can increase glutathione often can do so, and usually just for a short period of time, depending on how the body's functioning. We have to make sure, and this is something that I work within the body, actually was the basis of my last doctoral thesis, was you have to make sure that all four components of the methylation cycles are working in the cell, that the mitochondria is working in the cell, and that the DNA is producing the right amount or the right type of mRNA tools so that the cells can produce glutathione. Once you get your glutathione levels up, you shouldn't have to stay on medication or nutraceuticals for any period of time because the body is now making it. Now, why is glutathione involved in arthritis? Well, because glutathione is involved in eliminating the free radicals, in eliminating the toxification. It's actually even involved in the inflammatory process itself. So very often when we get the glutathione levels up, the arthritis disappears. Certainly the pain will disappear. Another big point that we've also already identified a little bit is your omega-3s, all your omega-3 compounds and all the different types of omega-3s. So how do you get those into your body? Well, we know that there's a ton of different types, but the types that are most types of omega-3s, but the types that we want to help reduce inflammation, you can find in things like your evening primrose oil, your cod liver oil, your krill, your flax seeds. Remember, it has to be ground flax seeds. Your hemp seeds, your salvia seeds, chia seeds, sunflower seeds, sesame seeds, etc. They can all be beneficial. A product that you can buy that helps a tremendous amount of people, I absolutely swear by it, is a product called Serrapeptase. And what it does is it breaks down scar tissue and it helps with a lot of inflammatory processes. Okay? What is Serrapeptase? It's a proteolytic enzyme, which means it breaks down proteins, and it's an enzyme that's found in silkworm. So when the silkworm is ready to break through a tough cocoon, a very, very hard shell, it starts to produce these proteolytic enzymes that break through that shell and allow it to move out and into the world. So in a similar way, this proteolytic enzyme will break down issues that are causing blockages, that are causing extra cellular material that might be causing the inflammatory process. Okay? They're also known to shrink varicose veins, apparently, and eliminate tumors and inflammation. Okay, now I've gone through, I went through a number of different herbs. But you don't want to just rush off to the store and say, ask the health food store or the person in the grocery store, can I get this herb, that herb, and the other thing? Why? Because herbs are incredibly powerful, very, very powerful. And they need to be used in the right dosage and in the right combination. You can cause all kinds of problems if you don't use them properly. Many of them will interact with medication, and you need to know whether they will exacerbate or minimize the medication process itself. Now, hopefully, you want to be in a position where you use the herbs rather than the medication simply to manage the problem, the issue at hand. But by the same token, you have to do that effectively, and you need to be working with a practitioner in order to achieve that. There's different types of herbs. Compliancy is a huge issue. Are they regulated? Are you getting the amounts that you need? Are they coming from good sources, or are the soils toxic? Are they being used with pesticides and herbicides, et cetera, or are they organic, or are they well-crafted? There's a number of different things to know about herbs before you just waltz in and take them. And you want to use, ultimately, you don't want to use the herbs like you would in conventional medicine, where you're simply managing the problem for the rest of your life. You want to know how to use them effectively so that you can manage the pain in the short term, but that you can eliminate the problem in the long term. Okay? Now, in addition to herbs, we also have all kinds of foods that we can use for inflammation and for arthritis and for painkillers in general. Number one, what do we want to do? Well, the most obvious, I'm going to say it anyways, is you want to eat whole foods, not processed foods, not fast foods. You don't want to have foods that have herbicides, pesticides, insecticides, etc. You want to use cold water fish, your salmon, your halibut, your krill, your sardines, and you want to make sure they're coming from good, clean waters. You want to use lots of greens, your parsley, celery, kale, okra, etc. You want to use seaweed and onions, carrots, leeks, and squash. You want to use avocados, pecans, walnuts, Brazil nuts, pumpkin seeds, flax seeds, as we have said earlier. And you want to use really good citrus fruit. Now, this is where a big issue comes in, because a lot of people think that oranges have a good level of vitamin C in them. And apparently they don't. Natural Foods put, I think it was 13 different types of oranges through their laboratory, and not one of them showed any vitamin C. So we need to get good vitamin C, because vitamin C helps to protect our collagen. Very, very important in arthritic conditions. Now, we've already said this, but we're going to go a little bit further into detail. Foods that you want to avoid. Like we said, your fast foods, your processed foods, your pasteurized foods, your white foods, your sugar, flour, rice, and dairy, your shellfish, red meat, especially if it's gout, although there's a lot of controversy over that, so let me just put that in. If you have allergic-type foods that are more commonly found with rheumatoid arthritic conditions, you want your nightshade, you want to be careful with your nightshade vegetables like potatoes, peppers, eggplants, tomatoes, etc. You want to avoid tobacco. You want to avoid your oxalic acid foods, your rhubarb, your cranberries, your plum, your spinach. You want to eliminate the bad oils that have a high omega-6 concentration. Now, omega-6s are pro-inflammatory as opposed to omega-3s that are anti-inflammatory. So those kinds of oils that you want to avoid are your sunflower, your safflower, corn oil, soybean oils, etc. And you want to avoid alcohol, coffee, and table salt, okay? Top reason for that, table salt is man-made. Use mineral salts. Use Himalayan salt, or even use sea salt. Himalayan, I think, is far better than sea salt. I started using sea salt way back in the 70s, but by mid-80s, I was using the Himalayan salt. Much higher content of alkaline minerals that we tend to be very depleted in. Coffee, why do you want to avoid your coffee? Well, out of the dirty dozen foods, the most toxic food there are, coffee is the worst. Coffee tends to absorb all your insecticides, pesticides, herbicides, etc. So you really want to avoid the coffee. And alcohol, I don't think we need to explain why we want to avoid alcohol. It turns to sugar, and sugar, by the way, if you don't know, sugar enhances pain. So whatever kind of pain you have, it could be pain from a menstrual cramp, it could be pain from your arthritic condition, it could be pain because you've got a broken bone, it could be whatever is causing the pain, avoid sugar or avoid simple carbs that turn into sugar quickly because sugar enhances the pain. Don't drink water with your meals because water will wash away the oils and dilute the enzymes. Drink water before a meal, especially if you're trying to lose weight. Again, avoid the whites, your sugar, flour, dairy, rice, etc. You only eat fruit on an empty stomach, and you need good, healthy fat. Okay? CoQ10 might be an important component for you, especially if you've been taking drugs like statin drugs for cholesterol, which eating an apple and walking a mile a day is just as good, according to all the research. Or metformin, which is used for diabetes, the berberine compound that's found in a whole bunch of different herbs that has been synthetically created to make metformin. Both of those groups of drugs, the anti-diabetic and the anti-cholesterol, deplete your body of CoQ10. And as I'm sure most of you know, your cells cannot create fuel unless they have sufficient CoQ10. Okay, now. When you do have arthritis, it is important to keep moving. You want to be able to move those toxins out of the body. You want to be able to move the oxygen and nutrients throughout the body. You might want to just start with doing breathing exercises or chair exercises. You might want to increase to walking or yoga. But you need to be doing movement to get the body's blood flowing. You don't want to be like a stale pond that has a tremendous amount of overgrowth in it. You need to clear out the system. Okay? Very, very important. Now, obviously, the amount or the style of exercise has to be very well attenuated to the type and degree of arthritic condition and the amount of pain that you're suffering. But ultimately, movement will help to eliminate the pain and help to solve the problem. We want to do it very carefully and very wisely. All right, do we have any questions on arthritis, which we can eliminate, both rheumatoid and osteo? Remember I said I used to have both, and I eliminated them. In addition, what else did I say? I had fibromyalgia, and I eliminated that too. So please be aware that it is a choice. Conventional medicine does not solve it, but we have a ton of good, healthy pain mechanisms in real medicine, and we also have the ability to eliminate the underlying causes of arthritis in real medicine as opposed to synthetic medicine. Okay? So please, please, please know that, remember that, work with that. All righty. Now, Nicole has sent some questions. Let me just go find them. I saw them somewhere. There they are. Shelly in Vancouver. Hi, Shelly. My doctor has prescribed prednisone. I do not want to take it. I can understand why you don't want to take prednisone. It is not a fun drug to take. So what is prednisone? That's actually, it is a synthetic corticosteroid. Where are the corticosteroids produced in the body? They're predominantly produced in your adrenal glands. Okay? So prednisone is a synthetic corticosteroid that is particularly effective as an immunosuppressant drug. So it's suppressing your immune system. Why would you want to suppress your immune system? Well, if we ask conventional medicine, they say, well, for all kinds of reasons. Sometimes the immune system gets out of whack. It starts to react on the body itself as if the body is a pathogenic. So you can have all kinds of conditions, whether they be asthma, COPD, rheumatic arthritis, your allergies, a number of the inflammatory bowel disorders like Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis, adrenal fatigue, laryngitis, TB, hives, MS. There's just a huge number of issues that you might use prednisone for. But what is the problem with it? Well, in the short term, they can actually increase your your blood glucose level, okay? So they can be particularly dangerous for diabetics. They can also cause fluid retention. But they can also have, they can cause depression and anxiety. They can cause difficulty an inability to control your emotions effectively. They can cause problems with thinking processes. So we have foggy brain syndrome. They can cause weight gain. They can cause facial swelling, abdominal pain, peptic ulcers, blurred vision. They can cause fatigue and weakness. They can cause insomnia. They can actually cause joint pain. My goodness, you're taking it for joint pain, but they can cause joint pain. They can cause cataracts and glaucoma. They can cause severe stomach pain and bloating and actually a black stool. They can cause dry mouth, mouth sores. They can cause liver problems. And then there's all the ones that are minor. Now think of what the minor ones are. Sensitive teeth, frequent urination, diarrhea, leg and pain cramps. There's just a huge number of issues with prednisone. That is why I would not want to take it. Now, my challenge here with your question is I don't know why you'd be taking it, depending on the problem would determine what other recommendations are there. There's a huge number. So depending on what the issue is would determine what the effective natural alternatives were. But having just run through a small short list that I could remember just off the top of my head of side effects from prednisone helps you understand why people that come in saying, well, Dr. Holly, should I be taking the prednisone? And I just shake my head and go, really? I don't think so. Look at the list of problems that it causes in the body. It's not worth it. The adrenals can actually start to shut down within a short period of time, and then that causes a whole ripple effect of other issues. So, no, you don't want to be taking prednisone. But the flip side is I don't know what you'd be taking it for, so I have no idea what kind of things to suggest or that you might go look and research to take as alternatives. So you might want to email back in, Shelley, with some clarity that I might be able to address, but I can't really go any further than this because it's just too huge a field that prednisone is used for to be able to guess what you're talking about, okay? Now, let's move on. David in New England. My wife is on a lot of medications. I'm very concerned. I'm glad you're very concerned. She's not into alternative holistic health, does not believe me when I try to tell her about better alternatives. You're in the same boat as a lot of different people, David. My heart goes out to you. Can you recommend a source of some kind that can show her to broaden her perspective? Well, David, one of the things that you can do is just bring up, and certainly I've done blogs on it, I've done Facebook on it, but tons of us have done it around the world, is identify and quote the editor-in-chief of two of the world's most prestigious medical journals, The Lancet and the New England Journal of Medicine, and both editor-in-chiefs have basically said, and I am summarizing, that 50% of all medical pharmaceutical research is outright wrong. The other 50% is questionable. So if you're getting the editor-in-chief of the two most prestigious medical journals in the world making statements like that, why would you take them? If we go into oncology specifically, we can say that there's research showing that 92% of oncologists would not take chemotherapy. If they wouldn't take it, why would you? I'm in a position where I have MDs from around the world that phone me, email me, text me, et cetera, saying thank you for my blogs, thank you for the information. It's helped them be able to identify and help their patients, not only with identifying the diagnostics, but also with providing treatment protocols. Now, In addition to that, I also have them coming to me as patients. Imagine that. When the MDs start going to the real medicine practitioners using real herbs, real spices, real foods, in different combinations, in different ways to help the body heal, why would you go into the pharmaceuticals? Now, another aspect that we can take for that, David, is 99.5% apparently of all pharmaceuticals deplete the body of nutrient. That's huge. If you have a body that's already compromised, why would you further compromise it by giving it synthetic artificial drugs that are toxic and further deplete the body of nutrient? That just sounds crazy. Another component you might want to share with your wife is that 48% of the 250 most commonly prescribed drugs cause cancer. Why would you do that? Right? Especially when you have real medicine in every situation that can help the body, benefit the body without detrimenting the body. Okay, so that's where I would come from. Where can you find sources? Well, you can certainly go to my website, choicesunlimited.ca. There's lots of material on it, and that can send you to a variety of other places. Okay? Now we have a Holly. Hi, Holly. Coming from Holly. In the UK, I have had arthritis for the past 10 years, and it's recently worsened, and I'm trying to find alternatives. Well, Holly, your protocol was basically what we focused on for most of the session today. I, in addition, had arthritis, like I've said. I had both rheumatoid and osteoarthritis. I eliminated all of it. Now, I'm going to tell you something that may seem a little strange to you. But when I got the arthritic condition in my hands, my fingers just, like, almost overnight went really, really bizarre. The joints were all weird, swollen and going in awkward positions and what have you. My hands just looked a mess. Now, at the time, I didn't have all the degrees and designations in real medicine. I was just simply a psychologist. But I do see energy, and I can work with energy. And although most of the time I don't see the energy in my body, I could see it being so knotted and distorted in my hands. And so I would just sit there all day long while I'm working with my clients, pulling the energy out. Whenever you have inflammation, whenever you have redness, whenever you have soreness and pain in the body, you have blocked energy. You do not need to touch the body to pull that blocked energy out of the body. Now, this may seem very strange for people that can't see energy or not familiar with all the different energy disciplines, but I do see energy. So for me, it was really easy. I could see all this blocked energy in my hands, and of course my hands are incredibly painful. So I would just sit while working with my clients, pulling out this energy out of my hands. And clients would often ask, what are you doing? And I'd just say, you know, I've got an arthritic condition. I'm in a lot of pain. So while I sit and work with you, I just draw the energy out of my body to release that pain. Now, I did that for about 6 months. And I've never had the arthritic condition back in my hands again. It was a lot more difficult to do that with the three major places I had arthritis in my spine, a disintegrating spine. I had to use my mind. Well, that's easy for people who have visualization capacity. I don't have that either. None of the women in my mother's side of the family have the ability to visualize. So that made it a lot more difficult, and I had to work with different strategies, what have you, to do that. So, of course, I went out and found every type of omega-3 I could possibly find, from all the different types of fish oil, cod liver oil, castor oil, salmon oil, to antlers, velvet, to you name it, anything I could find, I would take in addition to. And I'm not much in seeds and nuts. I don't particularly like them. I don't like the texture that they leave in your mouth. But man, did I ever indulge in them then. And like I said, I not only got rid of the pain, I got rid of all the arthritis. So it was worth it. So if you haven't listened to the rest of the session, Holly from the UK, please go back and listen to the beginning of it. I've given you all kinds of remedies that you can use to manage the pain while you're eliminating the arthritis. Okay? All right. move on to Andrea in New York. My doctor gave me medication for stress. I can't seem to get off of it. Can you suggest something? Yes, I laugh because I'm just amazed at what doctors do. It's amazing. One thing that you want to do, Andrea, is go to my website, choicesunlimited.ca. I have an 8-part video there on depression and anxiety, and it applies to stress. There's also another, I think, 4 or 5-part video, on drhollybooks.com. Get the book, read the book, and understand all the different types of causes so that you can zero in better on what exactly is causing the problem so that you can eliminate it. We have a wide variety of foods and herbs that can be utilized, but it depends on what's causing it. The more focused, the more accurate you can be on the combination of issues that you're dealing with, the more effective you're going to be with the treatment protocol. Okay? But yes, there are a ton of herbs that can be used, and foods as well, but let me just explain that a little bit. I have both a doctorate in nutrition and a master's in herbal medicine. Now, you can't get a PhD at this point, as far as I know, in herbal medicine anywhere in the world. But of the two, I would focus on the herbal medicine. Even though I have a doctorate in nutrition, and just to give you an explanation of my doctorate in nutrition, I established the biochemistry for cellular healing, so that the body could re-engage in cellular healing. And we bring that up from time to time, especially when we're talking about glutathione, your 4-methylation cycles, your mitochondrial functioning, your DNA producing the mRNA tools, etc. You need those to be functioning in order for the body to re-engage in its natural healing processes. But when we're dealing with stress, it could be gut stress, it could be psychological stress, it can be cognitive stress, it can be emotional stress, it can be stress that you're reacting to something on the outside versus you're creating something on the inside. All those different types of stresses require different herbal combinations, require different formulations. And in addition, it could be things like nutrient deficiency, it can be things like your microbiota in your gut. Remember, the bacteria in your gut can have an impact on your thoughts, your emotions, and your behavior. Hugely, hugely, hugely important. Okay? The big thing with stress is whether it's coming cognitively, emotionally, from the gut, wherever it's coming from, externally or internally, it's going to have a huge impact on your adrenals. And once you go into adrenal fatigue, then we have to go through quite the protocol to pull you back out again. So don't go there, get some help, whether through me or through somebody else. Make sure you get some help. Okay? All right. Anne in Seattle. I have ringing in my ears. I've had it for 5 years, and it's getting so loud. What can I do? Well, that depends on what's causing it. The majority of the time that when you have ringing in the ears, which is called tinnitus, it's actually caused because of a low magnesium level. Now, it could be other electrolytes like potassium, calcium, magnesium, potassium, and calcium. And it actually could be an interaction with the vitamin D. But usually the most predominant one is magnesium. And the magnesium I would suggest that you take just off the top of my head would be like an ionic citrate magnesium. And for a tremendous number of people, that solves the problem. Now, if you actually have structural issues, where different bones or hairs in the eardrum have been harmed, then that's a whole other issue. And sometimes Stemkine, which helps the body promote new originating cells that can go in and help rebuild, restructure, et cetera, that can be of help, but usually it is magnesium that we're looking at across the board. So I'm not giving a diagnostic or a treatment protocol. I'm just saying there's a very strong correlation between low levels of magnesium and tinnitus. Okay? Now, we actually have a few minutes left here. So what are we going to do with a few minutes? Let's go over what I can provide and how I can be of help. Number one, I do work with physicians around the world. I get physicians that email me, text me, phone me, et cetera, saying, thank you so much for the information on your website. Thank you for helping us clarify what the issues are, as well as finding the treatment protocol for them. In addition to that, even though all my books, which are found on drhollybooks.com, even though all my books are written for the layperson, I get more physicians that buy my books than lay people, which is really interesting and totally unexpected. Now, if you're the type of person that can say, okay, I don't mind reading a blog, but I don't want to read a whole book on health. I just couldn't handle that. I did something different for you guys. I wrote a sexy romantic novel. Okay? It addresses all kinds of different issues, psychological issues, behavioral issues, physiology, whether it be the heart, the adrenals, the gut, what have you, just a ton of different issues, and gives explanations from different practitioners in different fields. Now, I happen to have all those different fields, but what I've done is I've broken them down into different practitioners. And it's all explained through things like cocktail parties and barbecues and dinner parties of different types and what have you. And a couple people actually go into the doctor's office and explain what happens when you go to see a real practitioner. But it addresses a tremendous amount of information while reading a sexy romantic novel. And we're looking at having that novel made into a movie, which is really, really cool, especially at this point in our understanding in Northwestern culture, when so much evidence is coming out against the pharmaceuticals, and of course people are getting back on track into finding remedies, solutions, resolutions in real medicine. So you can come with your doctor to see me. You can come on your own to see me.